This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
That he's holding his own daughters in his hands, and he opens the eyelid and begins to look into her eyes. She's gone. He knows that. But he kisses and he pats her for the last time. What strength of iman is that? And the strange thing is, as he places her there, that's what you call iman. No strength and no power except with Allah. There are all these thousands of children. Don't abandon them. That's a sign of weakness that a person thinks is never going to be success. That person who believes that the Muslims have been destroyed for huwa halakahum, he's destroyed them. Don't lose hope. Because when we lose hope, then they will lose hope. They don't want anything from us.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remaining with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and specifically the supplication inside the Quran, and those supplications used via the prophets, that in their trials and difficulties and tribulations, that they implored and they called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which shows the timeless concept of the Quran for every generation and time that remains relevant to all of us. Because some of us, we think that the Quran is maybe only that time when it spoke about those individuals and failed to see the prophecies of the Quran or the promise of the Quran. Wa'adullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never he fails his promise. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa la tahsabanna Allaha ghafilan amma ya'malu dhalimun. Don't ever perceive or think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaware, heedless, or doesn't know what the dhalimun, the oppressors, are doing. These are only moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves, gives these individuals respite upon this earth. And that's the Quran. It gives us strength. As we mentioned over these few previous weeks, read the Quran, specifically read the Meccan surahs that speak about victory for the believers. Read Surah Ar-Rum, the 30th chapter of the Quran, giving this prophecy about the conquering and the ruling of the Muslims, or specifically Ahlul Kitab, over the Persians at that time. But in there we find a sir, a hidden message that victory is going to be for the believers, the Muslims. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. As Allah mentions inside the same surah, it's a fact, a promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give victory to the believers. Read the Surah Al-Ankabut, another Meccan surah, the 29th chapter of Quran, where Allah begins, أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. The people perceive to think that they say that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they won't be tested. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Indeed, we did test those people that came before. For what purpose? Why does Allah test these human beings, test us specifically as Muslims? So Allah may decipher and establish those who are truthful individuals and those who are the liars. And the surah continues to mention those who are the hypocritical individuals. Al-Iman laysa bit-tamanni. Iman isn't just false aspirations, hopes. قالت الأعراب آمنا. The Arabs, they said that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah negates that. You don't believe. You don't really understand what the concept of belief is. It's not just sha'a'ir, it's just symbols that I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is devotion. That's why even when people speak about aqidah, ما فهموا. They don't understand what aqidah is. Aqidah, it comes from al-aqd, a strong bond, tying a knot. The knot which is difficult to unknot. That's what your aqidah is, rasikh inside your heart. Your belief is strong and firm inside your heart and your mind. It doesn't waver. It doesn't move around as the world moves around, as many people waver inside their faith. But people, Ahlul Quran wa khasatuhu, people of the Quran and specific people who engage with the Quran, they see this world crystal clear. They see the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how it describes the believers, how it describes the disbelievers, how it describes even the hypocrites. That many of us fail to understand and pretend that there's no hypocrites amongst us Muslims. Allah will decipher and establish that there's going to be a hypocritical individuals inside our society. Even in the blessed lands that we find towards the end of time, when the shaking will take place inside the blessed land, in the city of the Prophet, the hypocrites will be expelled, will be thrown out. That sounds something harsh and difficult to imagine. Can there be hypocrites in the city of the Prophet? Yes, there can be. They give in every, because the meaning, the deep ma'ani of hypocrites are those individuals who display Islam, who display Islam, and deep down within their own traits inside their heart and their mind, they do everything to dismantle Islam, to discourage Islam, to demean Islam, to take away the sha'ir, the symbols of Islam. So you don't need to go into a deep theology of discussion. Symbols become apparent from people's speeches and their actions, what they think of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dismantles all of that, breaks it all down.
that all these isms, these 236 isms that you believe in, and the world that you believe in, it's all a bubble, it all burst. Whatever ma indakum yanfad, whatever is with you perishes. Wama indallahi baq. Whatever is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains for eternity. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a purpose for a human being and the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Who alladhi arsala rasula bil huda wa deenil haq. He sent his messenger with the truth, with the guidance, with the only way of life to prevail over all humanities. Over all humanities, all adyan. One thing will remain there for time. It will be al-Islam. Kalimatullahi al-ulya. The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain lofty and supreme forever. Forever it will remain supreme. As we mentioned, these are just tilkal ayyamu nudawilu abayna nas. These are just alternate days we alternate between human beings. A few days that people may think. How long will it be? 50 years? 100 years? It won't be like the power of Islam, whereby the power of Islam for centuries. Centuries, the land of Philistine. Centuries we ruled over them and everyone lived in a state of peace and contentment. They testify that to themselves, that the only time we were in a state of peace was under the Muslim rule. The Muslims treated us with great respect. Masjid al-Aqsa, it was a rubble. It was a trash site. Rubbish was thrown in Masjid al-Aqsa. It's only when the Muslims came, Umar al-Khattab came, that he cleaned it all up. That they said that some of the rubbish was so high they couldn't even see the brickwork of Masjid al-Aqsa. And he began to take it apart. This is the way that you show respect to the sha'ir, the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that the Quran, we should use the Quran. The language of the Quran, the du'as inside the Quran are powerful. That's what we spoke about. Ayyub alayhi salam, when he called out to Allah, Anni masaniya durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. In his suffering, in his hardship, he's imploring and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the prophets are the examples, living examples for us. War rasulu fikum. The messenger is amongst us today. He's living amongst us. What does it mean? He's living amongst us today. His sunnah, his teachings, his practical examples are living in front of us. You can pick up any book of hadith, any book of sunnah, and you can bring it from the beginning to the end. You find every single descriptive nature of the Prophet ﷺ has been mentioned. Even the way he defecated, he urinated, the way with his family members, the way he ate, he drank, he slept, he wept, he lived. It's all there. It's all there. How he fought, how he battled, how he made peace, how he liberated, how he conquered, how he ruled, how he forgave, how he pardoned. That's whom? That's the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسَّةٌ حَسَنًا. In him you find the greatest example, the moral fiber that we Muslims, we revolve around. That's what we revolve around. We're beginning to lose hope with the world around us at the moment. But we will never lose hope with the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. As long as his sunnah remains, his teachings remain. That's why he prophesied, he spoke about, there'll be a ta'ifa, ظَاهِرِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. There'll be a group of people who always be on the truth. And our people try to make ta'wila. These are people of knowledge and people of understanding. That's a false claim. ظَاهِرِينَ الْحَقَّ. Those individuals who are going to protect the precincts of everything that comes after this. Many of us, we still fail to understand. Why did Allah place most of the prophets inside that region? Why do certain narrations mention there's not a hand span or a foot span that we find? Illa that you find an angel has prayed there. Or a prophet has stepped there. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the Prophet before the night journey to the heavens? Take him to Masjid al-Aqsa and make him meet all the prophets to lead him inside their prayer. For what purpose? What purpose? To show the dominant force of this region. That we find the whole of Sham is a blessed region. Ardul Muqaddasa, Mubaraka, a blessed land, a blessed avenue, a blessed state is always going to be. Ulama speak about the barakat of this land. You can just throw a few seeds and you find it begins to fruits begin to grow inside this environment. That's how blessed this land is. And spiritually as well. A land of spirituality. That's why you find, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Likewise, we're going to rescue the believing individuals. And we understand the supplications inside the Quran. Today's supplication is looking at Yunus alayhi salam, which is a timeless supplication. That dua that he made calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for every single Muslim, even today. That when we've oppressed ourselves, when we've driven ourselves away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we're striving, we're struggling, we're in difficulties, we're in hardship, we're in sins, we're in dhunub, we call upon Allah, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنْ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He made this implore to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, this is how the prophets understood their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not like us, it's far away. Their relationship was close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam. Look at that love Allah shows to Musa alayhi salam. Mount Tur that we find. Calling Musa alayhi salam to that location. Telling him to come there. He says to his family, I'm going to leave you here. I see a qabas min an-nar. I see a flame, a strand of the fire on the top of the mountain. Let me go there, take a strand from that fire, bring it back and use it as a form of heat. He doesn't know what the qasd, what the intent is to come to that mountain. When he comes to that mountain, who does he meet? Who speaks to him? Innani anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqimis salata li dhikri. He speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah speaks to him. Wa kallama Allah Musa taklima. Allah spoke directly to Musa alayhi salam. Innani anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni. Gave him this message to Musa alayhi salam. It's me, the one and only. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship me. Establish the prayer for my dhikr. As we find that as-salah is ad-du'a. The whole of as-salah is du'a illallah. If we understood what as-salah was, then we wouldn't feel so tired and fatigued in the prolonging of the prayer. We wouldn't feel so upset about why is the imam reciting long verses inside the salah. Why is there excessive recitation inside the salah? Why is this dua taking place inside the salah? As Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, that if you want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, read the Quran. And if you want Allah to speak to you, then listen to the Quran. That's what it should be, the shu'ur, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now speaking to me. And that's the dua of Ayyub alayhi salam that we find inside Surah Al-Anbiya. As we mentioned, the previous dua from Ayyub is also inside Surah Al-Anbiya. This Meccan surah speaking, some of the ulama of tafsir, they mention that this is from Al-Itaq al-Awwal. This is from the old surahs. From the old surah that Surah Al-Anbiya is speaking about the prophets. As we mentioned, and a string of prophets is mentioned. And then we find that Yunus alayhi salam is mentioned inside this surah. Yunus has a whole surah. The 10th chapter of the Quran, a whole surah is named after Yunus alayhi salam. Likewise, at Surah As-Saffat, a discussion begins to take place about Yunus alayhi salam. Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir begins to describe who Yunus ibn Matta. That this individual, he was sent to the city of Nainawa, a village or a qarya called Nainawa inside the land of Mosul and Al-Iraq at the moment, contemporary Iraq. That's where he sent to his people to preach to his people, to give da'wah to his people, to call them to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith, the Prophet as I mentioned, don't let one of you say, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ يُونَسِ ibn Matta فَقَدْ كَذَبَ. In a hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. Don't let one of you say that I'm better than Yunus ibn Matta. I'm better than this individual. Ulama begin to dissect and speak about this hadith. What does it mean? What is the Prophet ﷺ trying to highlight about this individual? He's saying that he's giving preference because the Prophet ﷺ was a humble individual. Even though everybody knows, all the prophets know, the whole of humanity knows that the best individual, the best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Prophet ﷺ. وَلَكِمْ مِنْ بَابِ التَّوَاضُعُ. From humility, he gives Yunus ibn Matta this privilege. Gives him his honor. Give this rank to him. That's how the Quran describes the messengers. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْدَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْدٍ. These are the messengers who gave each one of them a different preference over one another. But the best of them, without a shadow of a doubt, is none other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَذَنُّونِ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا. That he went in the Sahibul Hoot, as you find described inside Surah Noon. Noon wal qalam. Some of the ulama go to view that noon, harf noon is speaking about al-hoot, is another name of the whale. Where it goes to the noon, goes back to Yunus alayhi salam. That is surah, the end of this surah is speaking about Yunus alayhi salam. Wa the noon idhaba mughadiban. When Yunus alayhi salam went left in a state of anger, some of the ulama begin to mention he wasn't angry with Allah. He was angry with his people. That's why anbiya prophets don't get frustrated with Allah. Unlike some of us Muslims today, and even I hate to use such words, this frustration that we have. Frustration with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophets don't think like that. They don't have that lexicon inside their mind. Unlike many of us, that we have this frustration that we have inside our lives, even the way that we implore, we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was in a state of anger regarding his people. Called these people to respond. that he made that decision to leave his people and to walk away from Ibn Kathir that he mentions. And we find Allah mentions the Quran, وَإِنَّ يُونَسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Indeed, Yunus is from amongst the prophets. إِذْ أَبَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. He went, he left these and fled them, and he went to the overloaded ship. And because he joined them inside the ship, they said, there's so much of a burden inside the ship. We need to overload the ship, unload the ship, take some people off the ship. فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَضِينَ. They began to throw lots. To who should we throw off out of the ship? They placed each individual names there. And every time the name of Yunus came, but they saw him as a pious, a good individual. Then it took lots again and again. Then they had no choice but to throw Yunus alayhi salam out of the ship and throw him into the depths of the oceans. And thus we find, فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. He thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to catch me. He's not going to be able to bring me to accountability. Allah's going to keep me inside the belly of the whale. Ibn Ashur goes to the view. He thinks that he's never going to come out. And that's why he makes that deep supplication. Because he thinks, I'm never going to come out of this state I'm in. So I need to make this sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَالْتَقَمَوْ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. The whale, it covered him, engulfed him. وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. He's blameworthy. Because he left the command of Allah. Allah never told him to leave his people. He got frustrated with his people and he walked away. Because messengers don't have a choice. They can't walk away from anything. They've been programmed by default to preach the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can't pick and choose when to be Muslims, like some of us we do. We pick and choose that now I'm going to be a strong Muslim. Now I'm going to be an activist. Now I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to do that. By default, every single day is a struggle. The struggle begins with Salatul Fajr in the morning. That's what it begins with. That's the beginning of the Muslim. That's the beginning of the strength of the Muslim. He's waking up in the morning. His remembrance of Allah in the morning. His adhkar inside the morning. That's what gives strength. That's the Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah. You said, this is my ghadha. This is my food. This is food for my soul. He said, that's what gives me the strength when I wake up in the morning, when I go out. To face all the different challenges. That's what we're going to come to. Don't underestimate the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find, فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. He called out to Allah in these darknesses. Ibn Abbas mentions the three darknesses. The darkness of the night, the darkness of the ocean, the darkness of the whale of the belly. فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. He called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his state of darknesses. Ibn Jarir Tabari mentions that this one whale entered into another whale. That's how much darkness it was. And you can imagine the size of a whale, of one whale going into another whale. And this is the darkness that he's surrounded by. Other traditions that we mentioned, just to give us a concept of the state of Yunus alayhi salam. They mentioned he thought he was dead. And he began to kick his legs inside the belly of the whale and discovered that he's alive. He began to prostrate and pray there. He said, Ya Allah, I'm praying in a location where no one has possibly ever prayed. I'm praying in the belly of the whale in the depths of the ocean. And the whale went all the way to the bottom of the ocean. Some ulama tafsir that they mentioned that he said, I could hear the stones. I could hear the sand, the rubble there, praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how deep I went into the depths of the ocean. Some ulama have mentioned, Allah ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Allah ilaha illa anta. The proclamation of Tawheed. As Ibn Taymiyyah in his Risala speaking about this dua, decoding this dua, lists all the ayat or certain ayat speaking about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَا اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. Whoever calls al-ilah besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No success for that individual. وَلَا تَدْعُ مَا اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. Don't call others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentioned inside the Quran, Ud'uni astajib lakum. Call upon me and I'll respond to you. Wa yastajibu alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Allah responds to those individuals who believe and carry out righteous actions. Other ayat he begins to mention. One of the most powerful ayat inside the Quran, Wa idha sa'alaka ibadi anni fa inni qareeb. Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an. Fal yastajibu li wal yu'minu bi la'allam yarshudun. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. If your servant asks about me, I'm close by. I'll respond to the individual. وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bounties of Allah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you find in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذِ اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. He said, if you ask, only ask Allah. If you seek aid and assistance, then only ask it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the hadith, we find after the dhikr, la ilaha illallah. The best dhikr is la ilaha illallah. Wa after the dua, alhamdulillah, in sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi. The best dhikr is la ilaha illallah. To make of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanak. Ibn Taymiyyah says that removing any form of false attribution, an-naqs wa naqa'is, illallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any deficiency, any evil or wrongdoing, to remove that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned the importance of tasbih and tahleel. فَلَوْلَا أَنَّوْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. If he hadn't been previously one of those individuals who praised and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's you find that praising and remember Allah in times of hardship is good. But what's better than that? In times of goodness. In times of goodness, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your voice remains there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's if he had not been amongst those people who praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in good times, we'd have left him inside the belly of the whale. But because he used to praise and make remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. He remained inside the belly of the whale until the day of resurrection would have been the status individual. إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. He makes, acknowledges this, that I'm amongst the wrongdoers. What did I do wrong inside my life? I disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I walked away from the commandments of Allah. I should have stayed there with my people. I made my own decision to abandon them. To abandon them. Abandon them. Don't abandon the Muslims. Don't abandon them. That's a sign of weakness that a person thinks, as we began with, is never going to be success for the Muslims. That person who believes that the Muslims have been destroyed for who are halakahum, he's destroyed them. A Muslim is an optimistic individual, is a forthright thinking individual, that victory is always for the Muslims, always for these people, always it will be victory. That's for always that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. Don't lose hope, because when we lose hope, then they will lose hope. They don't want anything from us. They want us to keep our hopes alive, because hope is a great success for every single human being that we find. Imam Qurtubi mentioned that losing patience, abandoning his people without permission, is a blame upon Yunus alayhi salam. And then Ibn Taymiyyah begins to discuss that a person, that when he makes his i'tiraf with dhunub, when he makes these sins inside his life, and then he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has a long discussion, that what is the status of this individual? And many ulama go to the view that a person who lived a life of sins and disobedience, and he repents, becomes a more powerful, stronger individual. Becomes a stronger individual. That's why some of the companions used to joke about the days of Jahiliyyah, speak about them, about what they used to do inside their lives, what happened inside their lives, and what they are now. Great men like Umar al-Khattab, look at these individuals' personalities. Who would ever think this individual would be guided? They used to say about Umar al-Khattab, they said that he's himar, his donkey would become a Muslim, but we never see Umar al-Khattab ever becoming a Muslim. That's how evil they thought he was. His donkey would become Muslim, he'll never become a Muslim. But there was something inside his heart. Khalid ibn Walid, the only individual who came close to the Prophet ﷺ and made that damage on his blessed face, a strike breaking his tooth, a strike hit on his blessed shoulder. They said that he had two shields of armor on. He felt that pain for over a month, caused the Prophet ﷺ to fall into a ditch. This is Khalid ibn Walid, the only man to do that, to have the ability, strategic warfare, to come and harm the Prophet ﷺ. And he's the same individual when he enters into Islam. Same individual, Allah, that the Prophet gives him this title that he's Saifullah. He's a sword of Allah. That every individual, every battle, everybody wanted to be under the shade of Khalid ibn Walid. Because they knew that when he goes out, he's the most ferocious fighter. He's the most tactical fighter an individualist individual is. But Umar al-Khattab is an individual who wants to show us what belief is. He wants to show us what belief is. So he told him to remove him from his position. For what purpose? So people don't begin to rely upon Khalid ibn Walid. So people don't begin to rely upon him to take away any concept of any type of shirk or belief inside people. Told him to remove him from his location. And Khalid ibn Walid is given that instruction. He doesn't begin to take it personally, because if the intention is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes no difference to them. That's why Khalid Walid, he said that he was weeping at the end of his life. He said, look at me. Every part of my body struck by warfare. And here I'm dying like an old camel on my bed. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ. We responded to Yunus alayhi salam. And we took him out of his calamity. فَنَبَذْنَاهُ بِالْعَرَاءِ وَهُوَ السَّقِيمِ. We took him out, cast him on the shore, and he's in a state of sickness. وَأَنْبَتْنَاهُ عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِنْ يَقْطِينِ. And we got this plant. So we'll mention the squash plant, the type of leaves that began to protect him because he came out the belly of the whale. So the saliva and the insides of the whale were upon his skin that were harming his skin. So when he's thrown out on the shore, this plant is wrapped around him to heal him. Because why? He's praising and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And that's why we use this dua. That like God, we will be given victory. كَذَلِكَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Strange is that Allah says inside Surah Yunus, Allah says exactly the same thing is upon us, incumbent upon us to give victory to the believers. That's what we began with. The Quran is strange, where certain ayat, certain words, certain characteristics are placed inside the Quran. It's all miraculous. It's all miraculous of the Quran, the nature of the Quran, the person who ponders over the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what find the Prophet he mentioned. Da'watu dhinnun. Is the who are fi batn al-hud, the da'wah or the call of Yunus alayhi salam, and he's in the belly of the whale. The dua of La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Whoever makes that dua, then it's upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any individual, except for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to that individual. And as we began with that, is the power of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the journey it continues. Because straight after Allah mentions Zakariya idh nada rabbahu. Then Zakariya makes a dua as well. Calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm a person who has no children, no lineage, no progeny. Then bless me with children and a lineage to come after me. So we mentioned the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam is a point of us at the following dua that we're going to look at. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. That to make from amongst our children and our spouses, those will be a coolness of our eyes. And as we find that, as we mentioned many times, the suffering that we can all see that's taking place, that any individual who's a father, any individual has children, can see this hardship that they're going through. And here it should be highlighted from the fawaid, the benefits of these ayat, is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remain steadfast and make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may be successful individuals. And again, I don't want to downplay these individuals. Many people are chanting these slogans and whatever it may be. How much of that time, effort are we making remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Not to undermine them, their efforts, but how much effort are we making remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Making tasbih, making tahmeed. Because we really believe that we know that this is a sort of success. Make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also this claim that people say that this land of Palestine, that these people, that they are away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time and time again, it pops up again and again. Maybe qabla 30 sana, maybe 30 years ago. But look, 30 years later, as our Muslim lands, where are they going? What are their calls and what are their symbols? What's the outlook? What is the outlook compared to that land at the moment? What are the symbols of those people? Symbols of those people are what? La ilaha illallah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. That's the symbols of those people. That's the symbols of people you can see, you can hear them, that they're clearly saying them. So when people are saying this fallacy that these people, that they have some corruption inside their belief, corruption inside their lives, that could be partially true. As we mentioned, it's a blessed land. It's a blessed land, a blessed environment. These are their symbols. They move towards the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you hear Allahu Akbar being chanted. You hear Allahu Akbar being said. You hear La ilaha illallah being said in unison. That's what you hear them saying. You see the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see a young child standing there praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, I want to go and meet my parents, meet my father, meet my brother, meet my mother. Symbols of 5-year-old boys, 6-year-old boys. That's symbols, that's tawheed. That's belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You could spend your whole life reading books. You could spend your whole life reading books. You have to live tawheed. You have to live it inside your life. They're living it at the moment. They're living it inside their life. They're showing the world, putting the whole world to shame. This is what belief in Allah is. This is what conviction is. This is what hardships is, but yet we still praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't need anything from this world. That's what they're trying to say. Saying it to all the people around us. And he said many times that the problem is upon us Muslims. It's upon us Muslims that we don't seem to see the cause and the concerns of the Muslims around us. And likewise, the importance of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what unites people, their belief, their conviction. The chant of La ilaha illallah will rally people together that we find. And also we find the fawaid, accepting our negligence, our sins, our disobedience. That obviously sounds harsh. That this has led to some of these problems in the world at the moment, our negligence. That we be negligent to the Muslim Ummah. We be negligent towards one another. And as we find that in our negligence, what begins to take place, some benefit of the dunya, that we sell out our own people. A Muslim never betrays another Muslim. La yakhdhuluhu. Never harms him, never betrays him, never mistrusts him, never oppresses him. Al-Muslim akhul Muslim. La yadhimuhu. A Muslim is a Muslim to another Muslim. It's always there. That's what we said time and time again, read in history, that we had so many corrupt individuals inside our society. We had so many corrupt individuals that people think that people are corrupt today. We had people that were there who were known for carrying out their muharramat, their haram things inside their personal lives. But when Islam was tarnished or harmed, they said, we're going to bring an army. One person stepped on a scarf of a Muslim woman and unveiled her. And she called out, Ya Mu'tasima, Ya Mu'tasima. Where are you? Ya Mu'tasim, the leader of the Muslims, where are you? That's brought back to him. It's brought back to him and it pained him. He said, I'm going to send an army. That the beginning of it is going to be at you and the end of it is going to be with me. Because you stepped on one scarf of a Muslim woman. You unveiled her in public. Ya Mu'tasima, Ya Mu'tasima. Calling out. And that's what we call out to ourselves. About our own souls, our own state, that we find to give up these sins that are taking, we're corroding away our life, corroding away our belief, corroding our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, a patience with our people. Don't lose hope with people. Even a person who's astray, who's lost, who's misguided, sins, innovations, don't lose hope. Persevere. That's what we need to do, persevere inside our lives. And the final benefit that we find is look at the end of a man. Look at the end of the individual. Look at the end of Yunus alayhi salam. That's what we should look at every single human. Look at their end life. Don't look at the beginning or the middle of the person's life. Look at what the end symbols are. What the end of that person is. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored those individuals to make their end slogans. That their end life. That their final words to be La ilaha illallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them and give them that courage. That these people have a strong courage to give us many lessons inside our life. Many lessons that you see that a father is holding his child. Child is shaheed in the lay, inshallah, is a martyr. They find children are martyrs in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's holding his child. And he opens the eyelid and begins to look into her eyes. She's gone. He knows that. But he kisses and he pats her for the last time. What strength of iman is that? That's what you call iman. That's what you call strength. That he's holding his own daughter, 7-8-year-old daughter in his hands. And he's placing her there. And the strange thing is, even strange as he places her there, right next to her is his son. That's what you call iman. That's what iman is. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. No strength and no power except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That all these thousands of children, all these innocent children, they all become guardians of paradise to drag their parents into paradise. As we begin to just weep about this, just begin to imagine this inside our lives, they've lived a life of Jannah, a life of paradise, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling them to paradise to make this a source of success for these individuals.